come before you this morning, Lord, and Father, you we know those that are out of town. Father, there were some Amish people that were several killed, Lord, in a car accident, Lord. From my understanding, Lord, only a little infant survived out of the whole lot of them, and so there's some that's went out of town today, Lord, to go there to that area for that those funerals and that, and I pray, God, that you'll be with them on the road to keep them safe, dear God, and bring them back safely. I pray to this morning, Lord, for anyone that's, Lord, out sick, Lord, that you would, Father, touch them, Father, and heal them, Lord. Lord, I pray for Will, Lord, who's out of town for work, Lord, that you would, Lord, be with him, Father, keep him safe, uplift him, dear God, with your spirit, and bring him back safely, I pray. And we ask, God, for this service this morning as we come approaching this part, Lord, of bringing your word, Lord, that you will anoint us, Father, and Father, that you will give us the words, Lord, to express your thoughts, Father, I pray. We ask, God, that you will may our minds and our hearts be sharp, our ears, Lord, to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Sorry about that. I usually don't even bring this out with me anymore, but I had my mind so wrapped around getting ready to come out here that I forgot it was even still in my pocket. John chapter 3, verse 16. I still want to continue on speaking on for God so loved the world and looking to actually understand God's love. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. You may be seated. Understanding God's love, you know, there is not only just in the world, but and not only in Christendom, you know, amongst the different Christian churches of the world, but I would say that even perhaps sometimes even amongst end-time believers, there is a misconception of really what God's love is, and there's a misconception of how to have that love of God reflected through us to others, and so we know that we have to have God's love, and that we need to show God's love to others, and we know there's a difference between God's love and the filial love, which is the love that humans have for one another. It's filial love that will cause a mother to, if she has it, to actually care for her children. It'll cause her to be protective, the father as well, to be protective over the children. Cause a husband to be protective over his wife, a wife over the husband. You know, that's a filial love. And it's an emotion, actually, that you
that we as humans, we feel from within our spirit. But God's love goes deeper than that. And so God's love has got to be reflected out of where the Holy Ghost resides, which is in your soul. And so that has nothing to do with your emotions. And too many times people, they try to reflect God's word through their spirit. They try to reflect his word through their emotions, their human emotions, rather than coming from the inner man, which to come from the inner man means it has to find its roots and foundation in the word of God. Too many times people's ideology and thought of love is not actually rooted in the word of God. It's rooted in their spirit realm, their emotions, how they feel, how things make them feel. Now a human love can be strong because, a parent with human love for their child, they love their child irregardless of what their child does. They may get angry at them at times. They may become frustrated with them at times. They may become upset with them at times in that, but they still love them. But that love also is a downgrade from God's love. So that love in humans also is sometimes is reflected, people reflected toward their children by enabling their children to go down the wrong path. Because that human love, if it's mixed right with the word of God, it'll bring correction to the children. But when it's just human love, you see what happens. It begins to degenerate, and so it becomes to a place to where it makes excuses for instead of bringing correction for. Well, you gotta understand, that's just how Junior is, there was a brother, a minister brother, he's passed away now, but he was a friend of my family. And he came and visited us quite often, and we happened to be just kind of laughing and joking around a little bit, and that, And so a particular a conversation came up concerning a certain man and how he was toward his children, And this minister said, "Yeah, I was there visiting one day." He says, and the man's two youngest children was a daughter, and then the youngest was a son. And so, and he had children of all ages. He had children older than me and children younger than me. They had a lot of kids. And so anyway, the little girl comes in and says, "Daddy, George is out in the road again, stopping the traffic and won't let the cars go by." And he said, the dad said, "Yeah, that sounds like old George," and just went right on back to talking. Now, I'm not trying to criticize that man, but what I'm trying to show you, that's how sometimes people do. And the thing about it is, they don't change when that child gets older. They actually form these things within the child when it's young, and then when it turns an adult and it's doing a whole lot worse things than being out in the street stopping traffic, they say, "Yep, that's just them. You just got to kind of know that's how they are." I'm going to tell you something. God don't accept that. God does not accept lawlessness. And he clearly outlined in his word that if a person can't take correction, they're not a child of God. He did, and the thing about it was, through the Apostle Paul, he didn't really even mince any words about it. He didn't even say it politically correct. He said, if they won't take correction, they're a bastard. Boy, Paul would have sure been got for hate speech today. But not only him, that man that they say loves everybody, if they really listened to everything he said, you know, Jesus, he would be accused of hate speech today. God himself, friends, would be accused of being a hater. Look what he done to Sodom and Gomorrah. What a hater. Look what he done to the world in the antediluvian age in the time of Noah. Brought a flood and killed everybody except eight people. What a hater. Wait a minute, but I thought God is love. Is that not a reflection of God's love? Well, let's look at God's love through that. God, for 120 years, had a man stand there and tell that generation, look, God's going to send a flood. It's going to rain. He's told me to build this ark. If you get on here, you're going to live. But if you don't, you're going to perish. And for 120 years, that's all Noah preached. 120 years, a preacher of righteousness is what Peter called him. And so for 120 years, God's love told those people, if you want to live, believe this. But then that same God, once he told Noah, it's time, get in the ark. Went in the ark, stayed in there 7 days before the first raindrop fell. The prophet of God said during those 7 days, the people were making fun of Noah and his family for being up, shut up inside that ark. And then one day, the first drop fell out of heaven. And when it started to rain, they looked around bewildered. And before long, the water kept rising and it kept raining. Look, friends, you know here in Tennessee, if we go through a really dry spell, you know, sometimes we do in the months of July, August and that, then all of a sudden we get several days of rain all at once. Man, that water's just running everywhere. Think about 40 days and nights. And they started to bang on the ark. Hold on, let us in. And that God of love said, no. I done warned y'all. I gave you opportunity. Now I'm going to kill every last one of you. Look, that same God of love, look what it says in the Bible. This is in Genesis chapter 6. If you want to read it in your homes, just letting you know where it's at. He says, God... He said, I'm done. I am not going to contend with man any longer with this. Says, he has become wicked. His every imagination is wicked. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. I'm going to destroy this earth with a flood. But then he provided a way of escape. See, that's love. But when they rejected the way of escape, then there was nothing left but judgment. God of love, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that all that would believe on him would be saved. He didn't send him to condemn the world. But if the world don't believe him, the Bible says they're condemned, which means... When if they don't receive him, then all that's left for them is judgment. But does that mean God is not still love? You see, God's love is not human. God doesn't look down on the people of the world and say, well, you know, that's just how they are. He provided sacrifice for men's sin And all he said was, you got to receive it. Remember Brother Branham gave that little story and example from back in the time of the Civil War time? And this man who, a soldier who had deserted. And so he was imprisoned over being a deserter. And so they pled his case up to the president, Abraham Lincoln. And so the president, he wrote a letter and for a pardon, to pardon that man. And that man, you know, for being a deserter, his penalty was death. And so they brought that pardon, sent it all the way down where this man was in prison. And when they got it down there and that, they told him, look, there's a letter here that says the president has pardoned you in that. And he said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Get that out of here. And the man ended up being put to death. And so the ruling then came down was a pardon is only a pardon when it's accepted as a pardon. So what is, break that down, what does that mean? It means if it's not accepted, then they're not pardoned. So God, friends, he sent his son so the world through him could be saved. But if they don't accept him, then they're not pardoned. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. Now, I want to really get in. This is actually where I've been going this whole time. You know, this is our fourth service on this. And this is the direction I've been heading in this whole time. Is, you know, bringing it down to, you know, not just understanding how about God so loved the world, but how is God's love reflected through us to others? Verse 7, chapter 4, 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment, and this commandment have we from him, that he that loveth God loveth his brother also. Brother Adam says in questions and answers, God is eternal. He was the perfect. He was perfect love. He was the display. God was the display of perfect love. All right, this is in Faith is a Substance. Brother Branham says, here he said, Paul said it was possible for him to do things without having the giver. Thou, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. See? All right, now love one another. Above everything you do, love one another. And as you love one another, you'll love God. See? You'll love each other, and you'll love God, for God is love. And a man that walks in love, walks in life, and perfect love casts out fear. Then if you can take him at his word and not fear it a bit and say, Lord, I love you. I know you're going to answer because you promised me you would, and just know you're going to do it. See, that takes away all fear. Then in Israel, in the church, he says, though I speak with tongue of men and angels and have not love, it profit me nothing. Though I give all my goods to feed the poor, it profiteth me nothing. Though I have power to move mountains and so forth, it profiteth me nothing. Where there is prophecies, it'll fail. Where there's tongues, it'll cease. Where there's knowledge, it'll vanish away. But when perfect love has come into the human heart, all the demons in hell will never be able to upset it. Now, in the midst of the unpardonable sin, he says, I tell you, brother, where there is divine, perfect love of God resting in your heart, sealed the same yesterday, today, and moving on, you can begin to take thought of that. Jesus said, By this will all men know that you are my disciples when you have love one for another. Where there's tongues, it'll cease. Where there's knowledge, it'll vanish. Where there's faith, it'll fail. All these things here. But that when that which is perfect has come, which is love. Let me stop there and just detour for a moment. There's so many that at one time, you know, people around this message said, when that is perfect has come, that which is in part is done away with, they thought that meant when the prophet came, it did away with the fivefold ministry. But the prophet says, that right there, that perfect that is to come is love.
Amen.
All right. Now, he says, let me get back here. He says, but when that one is perfect has come, which is love, it'll never pass away. That's right, the love of Christ. I can't judge by anything that you do. The only judge there is Almighty God. But Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, hold on just a minute. So the prophet's saying, love one another. And that's what Jesus told us to do. Love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, have love one for another. Love your brother. Jesus actually says, you know, and we'll get into this in a moment. Jesus actually says, if you just love those that love you, you ain't no different than the people in the world. I got news for you. There are people that I know that claim to believe this message, and I accept them and I love them as my brothers and sisters, that hate me. But I love them. I don't got a thing against them. They've made statements about, well, you know, doubts whether I even have the Holy Ghost. But I don't hate them. I love them anyway. You understand what I'm saying? Many times we take all this and we say, okay, it's us and the world. Sometimes, friends, this whole thing, it involves right in your own midst. Just because you disagree with somebody. Brother Bram said you ought to be able to what's the word he uses? I don't have the quote in front of me, but something about strongly disagree. You ought to still be able to put your arm around him and call him brother. But now, the love of God, Brother Man says, now, I'm not judging. But in the same sentence, he says, but Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. So how do you balance that out? I'm not judging. You see, if you point out somebody's fruits, they always say you're judging. It's God's word that is the judge. Now, let's just read this. Matthew chapter 5. I didn't realize I had this down here right there under these quotes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. I'm going to tell you something, friends. The sun rising on the evil don't change the evil. The rain falling on the unjust doesn't change them. People can come into a church and you got good people and evil people. Sometimes you got people that actually are actually children of God and actually have been converted, have the Holy Ghost, and you got others that just got caught in the net. But when the presence of God sweeps through the church and that, and over the people, and they feel this and they experience this, they're all rejoicing. That's what this scripture is about. Falling on the rain falling on the just and the unjust. It falls on the wheat and the tare at the same time. Look, I can remember over the years, you know, the church in Ohio, friends, has the Lord helped found and establish through my father. What is going to be 42 years ago? I got a lot of history I can look back at there. And I'll tell you, I'd seen a lot of people come in. And I've seen them get so excited. I've seen them jump up. I've seen them throw their hands in the air. I've seen them praise God. I saw a man one time, he was so excited, he jumping through his fist in the air, and we had low-hanging lights in the church building that we were in, and he punched a hole right through the globe of one of them accidentally. All excited. Where is he today? Well, I'll tell you where he's at. He's out there believing that he's going to be okay, irregardless of how he lives and what he does, because his mama loved him. That's words out of his own mouth. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus didn't say that, you know, that you're going to be there because I love you. He said, if you love me, and if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, my Father will love you. If you love me, he said, my Father will love you. And he says, and I will love you. Wait a minute. You mean there's a condition? He says, abide in my love. So look, God, friends, look, he gave out his love to the world. Jesus gave out love to the world. But the requirement is you got to abide in that love. And the only way to abide in that love is actually to line up with the Word of God. To believe the Word. Keep His commandments. All right, let's go on and read. I'm sorry. Verse 45, that you may be the children of my Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do ye not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So what is perfect love? What is us having perfect love? Well, the prophet of God actually says in Hebrews chapter 4, he said, you know, explaining this, he goes into explaining love. And he says, first is perfect love. That's God's love, pure and unadulterated. The next comes down is filial love. That's the love you have for your wife and your children. The next drops down after that is lustful love. Then the next is ungodly love. And then from there, it's filth. And it just keeps on perverting, perverting, perverting. Amen. So, all right, look. Many times people look at love and hate, and they look at them as coming from two separate entities. They're not. Hate is actually just love perverted all the way down. Human love and human hate come from the same gate, the gate of affection, your a person's emotions. That's why a person that can seem like display love so intently can display hate so intently as well, because where they're displaying it from. All right, he says, everything had a beginning and has an end. All that was, and all that will be taken away. What he's talking about here is, look, God's love didn't have a beginning. But this love that has come on down, all that, love and lust and filial love and all these different things, all that perverting on down, all that had a beginning. And all that will be taken away. Right away, and no remembrance of it at all. Come right back to the perfect someday. You can't stop down here halfway up and get up here. You got to be all the way in, trusting, resting completely in the salvation that Jesus Christ gives you by faith. There's a spirit of honesty that comes from God. That's the fountain of God. That's honesty. The next is a man will do a good deed for his neighbor, but that's not perfect love. Remember how we read what Paul said, we were quoting where Paul said, though I bestow my goods to the poor, though I do all these different works, Paul says, but if I have not love, see, all of those things, they're not actually displays of God's love. In God's love, yeah, you can do those things, but just because people do those things doesn't mean they actually have God's love. You've got to first love God. Before you can love your brother and your sister right, you have to first love God right. Look, friends, look. Before a husband even can love his wife right, he's got to love God right first. God's got to be first. Here, and you must be born again. Brother Branham goes through, and he's again talking about breaking love down. He says, anything that's had a beginning has an end. Those things which have not a beginning, has no end. Did you ever think that God, the great master rainbow in the skies, we'd like to say that with the seven spirits of God, red, perfect love. After that comes filial love, from an agapo, which is God's love, with perfect love, to a filial love. That's the love that you have for your wife. If a man would insult her, you'd shoot his brains out because it creates a jealousy. That's filial love, secondary love. Then comes lust for another man's wife. Then comes filth. It just becomes perverted. All this kind of love had a beginning, but when the real genuine love of God that I've talked about comes into the human being by the new birth being born again, it had not no beginning, it'll have no end. You are then a son of God, a daughter of God, your affections are on things above. Filial love will make you shoot a man for insulting your wife. Agape love will make you pray for his soul. That's the difference. So you must be born again. If, he says, friendship love. Oh, and this is in quotations. He's like saying like what some people say. Oh, I belong to the assemblies, and you belong to the church of God. Oh, sure, we have wonderful friendship and fellowship, but that's not it. I know you're interdenominational here this morning, but brethren, that's not the full answer. This is the answer for, that's the answer for friendship and fellowship. But what about God? So, let's just analyze what he's saying here for a moment. He's saying, you know, for you to say, well, look, and we got our differences, you know, in that, but we can still have fellowship. He's, okay, that's the answer, he says, for the friendship love. But it's not the answer for perfect love. If you don't have perfect love, you won't do that. But people do that and don't have perfect love. Look, there was a person I knew that I was around quite frequently and they would oftentimes say, you know, when somebody did something against them that really was upsetting, and more than upsetting, but just so disturbing, it just really just round up something within them, you know, and that they would start to say something about it. They said, well, you know, look, we're not supposed to hate anybody. We're supposed to love everybody. Well, just saying that don't make it so. That's not the answer. But what about God? Agape love is different from filial love. Filial love is what we come together and reason together and say, yes, we're brethren. That's fine. Shake your hand. Sure, I'm interdenominational. So Brother Branham's he's not even calling that God's love. He's saying that's actually human love. It's actually a form display of human love. But if all people are counting on his human love, they're missing out on a whole lot of things. He says, why I'm interdenominational, sure. That's what we should be. I like that. That's good. You got a good point here. But that's not all of it, brother. We got to have something another that pulls us from everything in the earth to the Creator yonder, to the one that gives us the eternal life. Now, you remember, and people refer to this in the message so often, about when Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time. And they like to refer to this when they're trying to tell you something about perfect love. How that Brother Branham, you know, said that the voice said to him, this is perfect love. And said, you cannot enter here without it. Now, what was the voice explaining to him? What was this? All right, let's go back and look at what happened, what Brother Branham's telling. Brother Branham said when he got there beyond the curtain of time, you know, and for those of you maybe who's not familiar with it, Brother Branham actually, he didn't know whether it was a vision or what happened, but he was like caught into another dimension. He one moment lay in bed, the next moment he was up somewhere, he was looking back, and you see his body laying in the bed, and then the next thing, it was an angel with him, and then it takes him what he described as beyond the curtain of time, and he began to see people who had actually died in Christ, and had passed away, and that they were in a dimension of the saved. And Brother Branham said he saw them, they saw him, and they all started coming toward him, all these people. Brother Branham describes them in different things and that, you know, and then when they got there, what Brother Branham talks about and really focuses on is all these women that were coming up and throwing their arms around him and embracing him, hugging him. And Brother Branham goes through and says, he did not have any human feeling from these women embracing him. And that, Hope, his first wife who had passed away, she was there. And she's standing there, Brother Branham says, while these other women that had come there were hugging him. And the way Brother Branham describes it, the thing was, she was fine with it. Why? What was Brother Branham describing? What was the "this is perfect love"? What was the "this"? It was the absence of filial love. There was no human love there. There was no filial love. There was no filial emotions. Hope wasn't jealous. Brother Branham felt nothing. It's what he's describing. Is here on earth, a man gets hugged by a woman, maybe it could cause a certain feelings or something. It was not there. This is perfect love. The absence of filial love. So, for us to have perfect love and actually be able to display perfect love, and I'm not talking about us here, you friends, look, you can't go around hugging one another and all this kind of stuff and everything else. We're in these bodies of flesh, and the prophet of God taught us, we're to respect that. But if we're going to, if we actually want to reflect perfect love through us, then it cannot be mixed. This is what I'm getting at. It can't be mixed with human love and emotion. Human love can be, the love that you might or might not feel towards somebody as a human can actually be affected by the way you're treated. It can be affected by what you actually are getting from the other, receiving from the other person. But agape love reflects God's love, and it's minus human emotions. So when God's love is being reflected through the ministry, that's actually bringing correction to the people. And though the man himself, because he's human, look, friends, as a man, when the anointing of God comes down upon you and God begins to express things through you in that, it actually could come out and it shows, and you think, well, that man's really emotional. It's actually just God reflecting himself out. Some people think, well, God's a God of love, so God never gets angry. I got so many scriptures to tell you that's not true. Remember when Israel came out of Egypt? God got so angry at them that he said, Moses, step aside. I am going to kill every last one of them, and I'll raise you up another people. But then Christ, the Spirit of Christ, even though Christ had not come on the scene yet, the Spirit of Christ was reflected then through Moses. He says, no, wait a minute, Lord. And he stands there in the gap. He stands in the breach for him, and he says, wait a minute. If you kill him, all the nations around here are going to say that you're a God that wasn't able to bring your people out, and that's why you done it. So he stands there for them, pleads their case, which is what Jesus did, friends, when he died on the cross. Brother Branham said, talking about perfect love, this is in the Reject the King, which is a message where Brother Branham tells about all this going beyond the curtain of time in that. And he talks about, he says, 90-year-old women and men of all kinds said, if you hadn't went, we wouldn't be here. And then Brother Branham says, God, let me press the battle. And then he says, if I could make it up yonder, 100 billion miles high, a square block, and that's perfect love. And then he goes on and he says, whatever you do, friends, lay aside everything else till you get perfect love. Get to a spot that you can love everybody, every enemy. Now, is loving your enemies, does that mean that they're not accountable? Does that mean there's no accountability? See, this is what people, many times, they think that love is, that love, a display of love, is actually not holding people accountable. But that's not God's love. And we have, in the first three messages we've preached on this, we've given example after example from the scriptures on how God holds accountability. In the message of adoption, Brother Ram said, thus saith the Lord, it'll take perfect love to put you in that place. That's all there was there. No matter how much religious demonstrations, how many good deeds you've done, whatever you've done, that won't count for nothing on that day. It'll take perfect love. So whatever you do, lay aside everything else until you can just get so filled with love till you love those who hate you. God's love is not without accountability. Perfect love is not love without accountability. Now, in the Bible, people quote this so much, where Jesus is there and he's being crucified. And he's on the cross, he's being crucified. And then, and you can find this in Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So now if you read that part of that chapter about the crucifixion, that you find that right after Jesus says this, it goes on, then that verse finishes out that they cast lots and parted his garments. So Jesus saying that had no effect on these people that heard him say it. Now, Jesus was saying it, and you can see by their reactions, they weren't asking for forgiveness. So it's from there where we take it that, you know, you don't just forgive people who actually ask you for forgiveness. As a Christian, you're supposed to be able to forgive them and just go on. Too oftentimes as humans, we think we got to make our point. We think our side has got to be heard. Our side of the story is what I mean. Many times that's why that we get sometimes as humans in fusses and stuff, is because two people both thinking they need their side of it to be aired. I'm not condemning you for that. We're human. As humans, we like to be accepted. We like to be loved. Nobody likes to feel left out. Nobody likes to be excluded. But now, all right, now let's look at this a moment. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Now, Jesus, being crucified there on the cross, Jesus forgave him. What did God think about it? What did God really think about it? Look in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Now, this is Peter. Remember, they came out of Acts chapter 2 is about them being in the upper room, getting the Holy Ghost, and then coming out from there and speaking in different languages and these things. And then Peter begins the whole passage by saying, "Think not that these are drunk, being this is only the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." All right, so verse 22, Peter says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Now look on down to verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Now, in Acts chapter 6, we find that they have taken Stephen, who was a deacon of the church. The church of the day had taken Stephen into custody. They were bringing accusations against him and that. And so the seventh chapter involves Stephen exhorting to them the word of the Lord. And so in verse 51, let's pick it up there. And look, Stephen starts, you can read this at home if you're not familiar with it, but Stephen starts by taking them all the way back from the beginning and bringing them all the way down through showing the plan of God. Brings it all the way down to the display of a Savior. From, Adam to Abraham to Moses to David, Stephen just brings it all the way down through there. And then he says here, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." Was this God speaking through Stephen? Was it God speaking through Peter? Yes, it was. Brother Branham says this in the message of the reproach for the cause. He said, "Jesus said, 'You hypocrites, you build the tombs of the prophets, and you're the one that put them there. You come with the word of God, and they came with the word of God, and you didn't believe them. You're guilty of every one of them. At Phoenix, God willing, I'm going to hit a word. I hit a word the other day. I'm going to indict this generation for killing Jesus Christ and crucifying him afresh. I'm going to bring an indictment before the ministerial association, God willing. They are guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ for crucifying him afresh." Yes, afresh. Yes, sir. Indict the whole. Peter indicted them on the day of Pentecost. He said, "You with wicked hands have crucified the Prince of Life, who God raised up. We are witnesses." He brought an indictment. "I'm going to take the word of God and indict every denomination there is, every man on the face of the earth that's guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ. God help me to be his attorney at that day. Amen, yes." He says again here in Zacchaeus the businessman, 1963, he said, "Now notice, like Peter said on the day of Pentecost, you men of Israel, how you," he indicted that generation for crucifying the Son of God. "Jesus of Nazareth, a man that was approved of God among you, vindicated of God by signs and wonders which God did through him, you took the Prince of Life with wicked hands and crucified him." Now, then on down, see, this was The first message I read to you from was in December of 62. The one I just read to you from was in January of 63. And now in July of 63 is when Brother Branham actually brings the message that he's referring to in both these messages, and in the message is called The Indictment. And it was preached in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And he says, as Peter said, your denominational fathers, Peter indicted you. Which of your fathers hasn't done this? Stephen done the same thing. With wicked hands you've crucified the Prince of Life. Didn't Jesus say himself, which one of your fathers didn't put the prophets in the tombs and you garnished them afterwards? And so has it been to the righteous man down through the ages. So I indict this high polished church going bunch of Christ rejecting people of this day. You with your forms of godliness crucify my Christ the second time by telling people that these words were for some other day and that it isn't for this day. I indict you. You're guilty of the same crime they was on the day of the crucifixion. Repent and turn to God or perish. Now, Brother Branham goes on, if you go through this message, you find Brother Branham is saying the reason he's indicting them for crucifying Christ afresh today, that day in 1963, is because he's saying you have took the word of God from the people. You have made the word of God of none effect to the people by telling them it doesn't mean that. Look what they, look, friends, look what they say, so-called Christians today. When they come to many of the scriptures of the letters that Paul wrote, they dismiss a lot of the things that Paul said. Where it says, wives, obey your husband. They dismiss that. When it says, women, be silent in the churches, they dismiss that. And the way they dismiss it is by, they look, go back at the time and say, well, look, women weren't as educated back then in the days of Paul. That's why Paul said that. You know, women had a different place back then. But now we've become educated. Now we've become advanced. Now we've become woke. They make the word of God of none effect. Now, why do they do that? Especially with what we've just covered about women, husbands, wives, and all this. Right? Because, friends, if you look at that scripture, and Paul's saying this is a great mystery, Paul is saying, look, as the wife is subject to the husband, so let the church be subject to Christ. As the husband is the head of the wife, so is Christ the head of the church. So really what it all boils down to is really it's rejecting the headship of God. Amen. It's rejecting God's word. And that's why the prophet in this day came and said, I'm indicting you. I'm bringing an accusation against you that you have crucified Jesus Christ again because you're crucifying his word. That was the perfect love of God being displayed through the prophet of the hour toward the world. Look, perfect love does not hold back. Amen. Look, human love, friends, look, human love, you know, will, look, the reason we have all the legal problems in the world today when it comes to these people, you know, they, a man, woman commits a crime, you know, and they got a, and so many people and groups and agencies and everything else got a problem with these people being held accountable for breaking the law. Why? They didn't really know what the love is, what love is.
Right.
Look, friends, look how the world has got so confused. Satan has got them so, no wonder Brother Branham said that before the end, the world will go totally insane. They can't, they don't even know what the definition of a woman is anymore. I saw a video one day, this man, he was asking these other people, you know, that one was claiming to be a trans woman, one was claiming to be a trans man, and then they had some other advocate down there and everything, and he asked him, he says, define what a woman is. And they said, well, you know, look, the definition is different for each and every person. It's personalized per person. My goodness, they're insane. Do you remember years ago when, you know, we here, you looked at this whole thing of homosexuality and all these different things, you looked at that as being crazy? Man, no way we saw this was going to where it was going to go. People thinking, I think I'm a woman. Well, I think I'm a man. I'm going to identify as this. You know, the big thing that's going on right now in the news is this whole thing about women's sports. Should these men who think they're women be able to compete in women's sports? Now, look, I don't care one way or another, you know, about that. As far, you know, say, well, you're into sports. No, that's not what it is. What I'm looking at is the spirit of this whole thing. I said to my wife the other day, I said, look, they want to participate in women's sports because they're identifying as a woman. I said, what if a person identified as a horse? Would they let them compete at the Kentucky Derby? Look, friends, look, there's a woman that is actually suing a particular school because her son said he identified as a certain animal, and because that school wouldn't recognize that, I'm surprised they didn't, they recognize everything else nowadays, but because they wouldn't recognize and treat him like this animal he was identifying as, she's suing the school. So look, I tell you that story just to let you know why I said what I said. There are people who think they identify as animals. Oh, brother. Oh, my goodness. But don't try to identify as a different race, because then it's race appropriation. So if you can have race appropriation, can't you have gender appropriation? Crazy. Friends, look, they contradict them own selves. This world has, they're going insane. And I'm going to tell you something, it comes down to, look, friends, the only sanity that's going to be left in this world is the bride of Jesus Christ, the people of God. And I'm going to tell you this, that God so loved the world in his, look, friends, like I said at the beginning, God showing his love for 120 years, he gave word through Noah to give them a way of escape before the flood. Now, you look back in the Old Testament and you'll find these so many examples. Remember, I believe it's in the book of Ezekiel, where God is actually speaking to the man of God, and he tells him actually concerning Israel, concerning Jerusalem, because look, he says, you appoint these men of God, to go down through and let them mark everyone that is actually true to God amongst Israel. And then after you've marked them, he says, then I want you to take weapons and go down and slay everyone that doesn't have the mark. And he said, you go throughout Israel and you slay every one of them that doesn't have the mark. And he said, well, let me, I've got this in here somewhere down through here. I didn't know if I'd get to it today or not. And he said, slay utterly old, young, both maids, little children, and women. Now, I found this in questions and answers because Brother Branham has actually asked a question about God, people being killed, women and children, all that in the Old Testament and things. And they said that surely my God of love wouldn't do that. And Brother Branham's reply to them was, you don't even know what love is. And so he goes down through here giving all these different examples. He gives it about in the days of Noah, and he gives it here. He gives it about Elijah pronouncing judgment to Ahab because Ahab brought Jezebel in and brought in the religion of worshiping Baal, Jezebel religion, and defiled Israel. Look at all the times that Israel defiled themselves by bringing in other gods, idols, and things and worshiping them. And every time that they did, God brought judgment down on their head. He would send some other heathen nation down there to take them captive, bring war on them. And God would not stand there and help them. Look, when they went into captivity in Babylon, that's what that was all over. God was constantly bringing judgment on them. And then, like I said here in Ezekiel, you know, Ezekiel says that when he began to see all this slaying going on and people being killed and everything else, that he actually cried out before the Lord and asked the Lord, how long is this going to go on? And the Lord replied back to him and said, defile the house, fill the courts with the slain, go ye forth, and it went forth and slew the cut. And it came to pass while they were slain, I was left, and I fell upon my face, and I cried, and I said, oh, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then he said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city of perversiveness, for they say the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and God seeth not. And as for me also, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. Brother Adam said, in other words, God said, now wait, I'm going to mark people first, those that are really consecrated to God. Now, to these men that have the slaughtering weapons, you go through and you don't you spare women, children, or nothing, but utterly destroy and slay everything. All right, say, well, that's the Old Testament. Like I've said, sometimes people in their ideology, they think, well, you know, that's how God was in the Old Testament, but, you know, he got saved in the New Testament, and he changed. Well, the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. And Paul wrote and said, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, realizing they were under the blood of bulls and goats back then. Now we realize when Jesus, the Son of God, was sent by God because he so loved the world and came to give his life in that, then remember Brother Branham, this story that he tells about how he was staying in his hotel and he went across the street, went into a little diner, and when he got in there, he saw some people acting all ungodly and things. and things and that, and this woman flirting up with these men and all this different stuff and how they were acting and everything. And Brother Branham thought in himself, says to himself, I don't see why God don't just destroy them all. He says, then God caught him up. And God let him see that there was a blood bumper of Jesus Christ, like a bumper around the world, the blood of Jesus Christ. And that the sins that the people are committing, they go up, but they can't pass through that blood. So God's looking down, and when he looks down, he's looking through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why you're not seeing Old Testament God right now. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. God's give this world way more time now than he ever gave in the days of Noah. You look in this last age, how many years have passed from the time God sent the prophet to this very Sunday that we're standing here this morning. How much time has passed? It's God giving opportunity to people because everyone's under the blood of Jesus Christ. People think God doesn't hold people accountable because he's not striking people dead. But now let's look at it a moment. And you just forgive me. I guess this is going to be a long one today. And I'm sorry. Brother Branham talked about being reverent about communion and things like that. And in one particular message, Brother Branham tells a story about these two young men that were making fun of the church having communion. And so they took some wine and some bread and things, and they went up to a hotel room, and they started mimicking what was going on and making fun of the communion. And Brother Branham said, God killed them. There was a woman, supposed to be a Christian. I think, if I forgot the story right, if I remember it right, she was something within the church. I don't recall because there's a couple of different stories, but she was something, held some kind of position or something within the church. I don't remember if it was Sunday school teacher, pan play, whatever it was. But anyway, she, Brother Branham and Brother Neville had went to her, you know, and tried to talk with her, and she said, I wouldn't feed that religion to a cow. So Brother Branham said, look, that soul, when they reject, that's their soul leaves him. He said, but when it comes the day for them to die, their soul will come back. And he said, when it came time to die, you know, and there's two different stories, so you forgive me if I'm getting confused. There's one where a woman does this and she's dying and like her freckles pop out on her face and all this stuff. There's one where the woman is actually, she's in there and all of a sudden she starts saying, and her pastor's in the room with her, and she starts saying, I'm lost, I'm lost, I'm lost. Brother Ben said that soul came back to her. And said that she, you know, that her pastors thought, oh, she's getting hysterical, said, go get a hypo and give her an injection, you know, calm her down. She says, looked at the pastor and said, you get that hypocrite out of here. And she started calling for them, go call for Brother Branham and Brother Neville. They didn't make it there in time. She died in that condition. Friends, look, right now, things are the way they are because the blood of Jesus Christ is covering this world. But there's coming a day when all that's going to be finished. When the time of the Gentiles which is, that's our time right now. See, Paul said he blinded the eyes of the Jews, Paul said, and he says, and now I turn to the Gentiles, and that's how the gospel of Jesus Christ came to the Gentiles. Gentiles are just people who aren't Jews. But that's how it came to the Gentiles. Well, this is the Gentile time now. But the Gentile days are coming to an end. They're coming to a close. And when the Gentile days come to a close, what happens is the resurrection happens. The second resurrection. It happens. The dead in Christ rise first. Then the dead in Christ that arose from the dead, and those that are alive and remain here, all shall be changed, new bodies. And then the rapture, the catching up to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then 3.5 years of tribulation sets in. Now, why is it going to be 3.5 years of tribulation? Because the blood of Jesus Christ is going to be removed from the earth. There'll be no more blood of Jesus Christ here covering the earth. Of course, Jesus Christ will come down and call out the 144,000 Jews. Says he'll come, they'll see the nail prints in his hands and his feet, they'll say, where did you get this? And he'll say, in the house of my friends. Once that has happened, friends, there's nothing left for the people but to stand in judgment. And then, you look, friends, what part will God so love the world that he gave his only begotten son, what part will that play in the judgment? It still plays a part. It plays the part that everyone has had an opportunity to accept or reject. And that's what they'll be judged on. Whether they accept it or reject it. Now look, friends said, if people say, no, I believe Jesus died for my sins, I accept him for my Savior. I want to tell you something. To really accept Jesus Christ today, you've got to accept his word. Yeah. Not just believe that God sent his son and he was crucified on a cross. Yeah. To accept Jesus, to love Jesus, you've got to accept his word. You cannot, a person cannot say they love God and not love his word. Amen. Now, perfect love through the believer, the bride today, friends, it points people at accountability. It says, look, now's the time to repent. Now's the time to get right. And friends, look, we show ourselves friendly. We show the love of God. We don't shut our doors to anybody. But because we have perfect love, we're going to preach the word. And if the word says to an individual, this, what you're doing or how you're living or what is wrong, that's actually love. Amen. That's actually perfect love of God being displayed. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave the world a way to escape going to hell. Right. So that same God today will come down and through his ministry and through his people, look, the final voice to the final age is from the bride. And the Bible says, look, the Spirit, the prophet, and the bride are all saying the same thing. repent or perish. And people are held accountable by God whether they repent or not. And perfect love doesn't gloss things over. Look, friends, if people come into your midst and they're not wanting to repent, they're really not wanting to get right with God, perfect love in you isn't going to just gloss all that over for them. Oh, you don't want to repent? Well, okay, but let's go eat. Yes, we give people opportunity. Yes, we're patient. We're long-suffering because God was with us. I look at how many times that God could have said, that's the final time, Jerry. And I've so often said that I can remember as a teenager especially when, you know, I was being as ornery as could be, you know, around church and everything else and that. And I could, it was like, you know, I could see the way some sister Bertha better than thou would look at you. And I just think they gave up on me. And I've said so often since God turned me around, I'm so glad God never gave up on me. Look, I'm glad my mom and dad never gave up. I'm glad my mom and dad prayed for me. I'm going to tell you something, friends. My mom and dad, they never made excuses for me. Oh, that's all right. God loves you. No, they told me what was right and what was wrong. And when I was doing wrong, they told me it was wrong. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. I believe I had been taught enough from the time I was a child. And I'm going to tell you something. When I was a teenager and even older and doing things that wasn't right or whatever, I really didn't need anybody to tell me what I was doing was wrong. I never tried to paint it up as anything different. I knew what I was doing was wrong. I never tried to say, well, you know what, in order for me to allow myself to do this and feel all right about myself, what I'm going to do is I'm going to find fault with the end time message. Well, I'll just leave the message and I'll go out here and I'll join me a denomination church and let me do what I want to do. Well, I'll tell you what, I was never mixed up like that. Now, I'm not saying that to my credit. I'm just saying, friends, look, for people to get that way, they have give over to a spirit of a strong delusion. That they would believe a lie and be damned by it. God's love, perfect love for us in this last day, has delivered to us. Look, Jesus said, this is in John 14. Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. He says again, a verse down from there, he says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. The love of God, what it promises to us in this last day, God reveals himself to us. He reveals his word to us. Because we love him. And we love him because he first loved us. And friends, if we love one another, and if we love our enemies, and if we love those that hate us, it means you're going to tell them the truth. You're not going to gloss it over. You are not going to fool yourself in your spirit that they're not going to be held accountable. Or that you'll just love them and they'll be okay. Hallelujah. Let's stand. I'm sorry. I went on so long today. I never go on this long anymore. And I really didn't intend to today. I thought that it just, I got in this and it's just like I just couldn't find a place to stop with that. You know, it's like, you know, and before they had nail guns, you had to use a hammer. You know, and when you would, when my daddy, when we were building things, we had a little, we raised some cattle and different things, and that we had to build things our own selves and that. And then when we were building things, you know, I had to learn to drive a nail with a hammer, you know. And, you know, and if you sat there and played around with it, and that, my dad would say something to me about it, you know, hit that thing and drive it in there, you know. And then my dad taught me, you know, the thing about a nail, and later on, you know, we come up with all these nail guns and stuff, and then they came up with, and nail guns just made it faster, but then they come up with all these cordless drills, you know, so everybody starts putting decks and everything else together with screws. Now, why do they do that? Because a nail, it won't actually over time hold something together. It will eventually work loose. That's why in your old homes with the hardwood floors and all that, after a while they get to creaking and stuff, because what it is creaking on the nails. My dad would say, you know, what you got to do, he says, you drive that nail through to some of it sticking on the, out on the other side. He said, then you clinch it over. He said, when you bend it down on the other side, it ain't going to pull out. And I just felt like I had to clinch this one over today. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning, dear God. And Lord, you know how I've been so tore up, God, over it. I knew it was coming to this the whole time, Lord, when you laid it on my heart. And God, I was actually so tore up over today, Lord, and in myself. And Lord, and I was actually concerned, Lord. I just wanted to make sure I caught everything, Lord, Father, and was able to share everything, Lord. And Lord, I was depending on you, Lord. That's why I prayed the way I prayed at the beginning and everything, Lord. And Father, we just we find sometimes, Lord, these things are just, they're just so important, Lord, and it's of such consequence, Lord. And Father, it's just, it's such a sacred thing, Lord, your word. And Lord, I ask God that you, Lord, what we want to do is we want to reflect you to this world. We want to reflect you to one another. We want to reflect you to our husbands and our wives and our families and our children, Lord, and our brothers and our sisters and to this world. Lord, we want to reflect the life of Christ. And Lord, so many times, Lord, we've got all these human thoughts and emotions, and sometimes our reasoning is affected, dear God, by our emotions. Lord, and God, and Father, this, the love of God, it's not an emotion that it could be understood like human emotions are. The love of God's not that way. Perfect love is not that way. Lord, we want to be able to display perfect love. And to display perfect love, Lord, then what we need to do is to present Jesus Christ through the Word of God in this end time to this lost and dying world. If we love people, then, Lord, what we want to do is we want to point them to the truth, because that's their only hope. Their hope isn't a church. Their hope isn't being accepted by people. Their hope is being accepted by Jesus Christ. Their hope, God, is being accepted by you. And Lord, the only way we can be accepted by you, Lord, is through faith. Perfect faith. And perfect faith, Lord, is not a hope. And it's not just a believing in just anything. But a perfect faith, Lord, is actually believing the word of God. Accepting your word. Believing in you. And that's the only way, Lord, that we can be acceptable to you. So, Lord, showing perfect love to others, Lord, is not just, Lord, making them feel good. It's not just making them feel welcome around us. It's not just, Lord, somebody coming into this church building and all of us saying, you're welcome to be here. But it's actually pointing them to you, Lord. It's actually pointing them to truth. Lord, to realize everyone has an opportunity. And if they reject that opportunity, then, God, there's not another way around it. You either accept the opportunity, or if you reject it, God, they're lost. I'm thankful, Lord, that in your mercy today, under the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you have given to many of us seemingly, Father, it almost seems like endless opportunity. We make mistakes all the time, Lord. But Lord, the true evidence, Lord, of this your spirit and the change and the quickening that's happened in us is, Lord, when a believer realizes they've done something wrong, God, the first thing they do is repent. But Lord, before we had the Holy Ghost, before our life was quickened, the Word come, Lord, and yes, the Word quickened us. And what it did, Father, it created in us a voice of, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me for the wrongs that I've done, Lord. Lord, and Father, your Spirit in us, Lord, and we've seen the testimonies of it, even in the life of your prophet, dear God, your spirit, you go and you make things right. If you've said things to people, if you've told lies, you go make it right. If you've done things wrong, you go make those things right. Lord, we want your love displayed through us to others. We want that perfect love. God, my desire, these people's desire this morning, dear God, is to make it to that place, God. Lord, to make the rapture. Lord, to make heaven our home. Pray, Father, bless your people today. Bless them as they go their ways, God. And bless their fellowships and so on, Lord. And I pray, God, again, for those that are out of town, be with them, watch over them, bring them back safely, God.
Anyone that's out sick, you'll touch them, God. We ask if anyone's here sick this morning, dear God, I pray the Spirit of God touch them and heal them, dear God, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.